importance of what is contained within our region. I'm proud to say, and I do say this to my other executive officer colleagues, we have all the sparkly clean water in California, and you have a lot of the dirty water, but keeping it sparkly clean is not as easy as it sounds, and it's a privilege and a gift for our region to have that kind of benefit of having so much clean water, and keeping it that way is very important. And I also want you to look at, because when we talk about performance targets, when we talk about what we do, it's a lot harder in a region to get from one side to the other. With the snow, it's hard to do inspections. So it adds a degree of difficulty or complexity to what we do every day that some of our other regional boards don't face quite some of the same challenges that we do. You heard that loud and clear from Scott Ferguson regarding Leviathan Mine.
May I ask a question?
Yes.
So I'm struck by the list of 50 disadvantaged communities. And how is disadvantaged communities defined, and are those 50 disadvantaged communities defined that way through EnviroScreen, which would make them eligible for certain programs?
I'm glad you asked that question. Those 50 disadvantaged communities were identified in our EJ report that we'd done a bit ago, and they were based on the DWR definition, disadvantaged community. Not EnviroScreen, the list would be smaller if it was EnviroScreen, because it is so heavily weighted on air pollution to be able to score high enough in EnviroScreen.
Thank you.
Next slide, please. I'm now going to ask Lori Kemper to take a turn up here and talk a little about the budget and the money.
All right, thank you. Ms. Kyung-jin, my name is Lori Kemper, for the record. I'm the Assistant Executive Officer. I like how this slide looks like a lollipop, but we don't have any of those here. This slide identifies how our budget is, how we're funded, essentially, from the different funding sources. So we have 63 permanent staff. We're currently facing 10 vacancies. You're probably hearing me say that a couple times tonight, but every year we're funded mostly through waste discharge or permit fee funds, but also some federal funds and some other pots of money from the general fund and the underground storage tank reimbursement accounts. So this shows you basically the independent funding sources. Most of this allows us very little discretion, you know, because funds are provided to us in a particular program, and there's an expectation that we will do work within that program, you know, only. So we can't use, for instance, 401 certification wetland permit fee funds to to spend time at Leviathan or whatever. You know, it's really just for processing permits and doing inspections and report review and that sort of thing. So some of the funds where we have a little more discretion are things like in basin planning, where we only have a couple of PYs. It says 1.4 there, but we have a little discretion there that we can decide what our priorities are. The board provides that input during the triennial review each year. I'd say in our TMDL program, the total maximum daily load, again, all we can do with that funding is either TMDL development or planning or early implementation. So we have some discretion about how to spend that money within sort of the guidelines of the program. We have a few more choices about how to prioritize that work. And similarly with the stormwater, or the swamp gamma, which is the surface water ambient monitoring program, we can decide where to go collect samples, but that's what we're gonna spend the money on is water quality assessment. So that just gives you some idea. Next slide. In terms of this year's budget, so the fiscal year we're currently in, which ends June 30th, so beginning July 1 of this fiscal year, we did receive some new positions. We, as part of a budget change proposal and the governor's budget, we were actually awarded 3 permanent positions in our surface water ambient monitoring program, according to the legislature's approval in July, and that was really supposed to be what they call a zero-cost budget change proposal, because we were converting contractor positions to permanent positions. So we had folks under a state contract with the university or Moss Landing's laboratories. So we ended up only getting two of those three positions that were approved because State Board decided they had higher priority needs for that additional PY. And we also, so we're now currently down about a half a position in that program. And we have Tom Sook, who retired at the end of the year and the calendar year. So we are flying his position. Actually, applications are due this week. So we also received two new positions for the Leviathan Mine Project, and that brings the Leviathan Mine Project total staffing to seven positions. And that's we think that's the right size and the appropriate size for that unit for the next several years. It gives us enough positions to get ready for all the challenges Scott talked about earlier and getting a new final remedy in place. It may be, depending upon what that is and how big of a construction project or long-term operation and maintenance project, we may have to reevaluate the number of positions that we need for that project, but that's, as he said, about 5 years away. So we think we're in pretty good shape right now with staffing. And we were able to hire Mark Minsky, Kathy Minsky's husband, as the staff services analyst who's helping with all the crazy budgeting and cost accounting work. So that's been a nice addition. So we're down 15% of our current staffing just based on vacancies due to retirements or promotions, as well as in addition to those vacancies, we have a handful of folks who are out on long term medical leave or things like that. So that's really put a huge burden on our ability to meet our mission and complete a lot of the work we'd identified. And the other budget thing I wanted to give you a highlight on is we do expect in this year's budget, so this fiscal year that ends in June, we do have the continuation of a limited term position in the timber program, and that was from the new funding that came from the lumber sales tax funds additional timber positions. We were only given limited term position initially, but that money seems pretty stable in terms of people buying lumber products, which keeps the fund healthy. So we do have a budget change. We do expect that that position will be made permanent in July 1. So that's kind of a highlight for that. And there's other positions, obviously, that we may see next July based on legislative approval of the budget. So we'll just have to kind of wait and see. And then the other budget update, based on the federal direction from the federal government, so far we've only heard from US EPA related to our non-point source program, but we kind of expect a similar message from the TMDL program, which is that this is the month that we actually have to put together our work plans for money that comes from the federal government. And right now, that's a couple of positions in our non-point source unit and a couple of positions in our TMDL program. So that's the good news, is we don't have a lot of federal funds in our budget of our positions. They have asked in the non-point source program to put together a work plan, assuming we continue to get status quo, but also to anticipate a 10% or a 25% budget cut. And that would be for federal funds that would come into the organization's budget in October. You know, that's the beginning of the federal fiscal year. So we've been asked to at least project how we would deal with a 10 or 25% cut in federal funds to our region. But as I mentioned, if we've only got four PYs, you know, a fourth of that would be a position, which would hurt. But it's overall is not a big part of our budget. And our understanding in terms of the Department of Defense's budget, because we have about six positions in that program that does, we actually have almost seven positions, 6.6 positions, that cost reimbursement, the as far as we know, the Department of Defense is continuing to have their budget to do remediation and site investigation at their facilities, so we expect that's not going to change, but we haven't heard anything different. Okay, next slide. I'm just gonna touch quickly on some key accomplishments. So from basically the past 12 months since we were talking about accomplishments, since I was here last year, you know, we've continued, even with our being down in staff, we've continued to complete our inspections and our routine regulatory work. And you've seen some of these permits. some of the big accomplishments this last year was getting the Tahoe Marina permit renewed last summer, and a big effort is underway right now reviewing their annual reports under the old permit that ended this last summer, and their new stormwater management plans to kind of put them in good stead for this summer's operation, where to sample their stormwater and how they're improving their BMPs. Tomorrow you're going to hear the Tahoe Municipal Stormwater Permit renewal. That's another huge accomplishment in terms of meeting our pollutant load reductions for Lake Tahoe and setting targets for the next 5 years. And then at our last board meeting, you adopted permits for both the new Crystal Geyser bottling facility and the previous one, and also efforts underway to deal with arsenic disposal that was handled improperly and is now under control. Last month, we also the board also approved the Fort Irwin Salt Nutrient Management Plan, and there's others that are underway. So I think we're making progress on all of that. We issued a big ACL for the city of Victorville that we're still discussing settlements on, and we're seeing a number of sanitary sewer overflow audits that we're getting some help from the State Water Board, and our staff is kind of getting trained up on that. So we're making some progress on a number of municipalities improving their sewage collection systems. And then we also received grant money from the State Water Board for the Barstow perchlorate. It's not on the list there. I didn't put it as an accomplishment because we got the money, but we're excited that we got the money and that we're going to be able to do something to try to control plume migration there on the Barstow. And we're working with the City of Barstow to see if we can optimize their nitrate remediation so that it also can address some of our perchlorate issues. So it's a big project, but it's underway. We feel like we're making progress. Next slide. Then the State Water Board identifies performance targets that we track, and those are located on page 5-67 and 5-71 in your packet. So 5-67 is a summary of the performance targets from fiscal year 15-16, so these ended last June 30th, and we did we had identified 194 inspections, and we actually completed 233 inspections. We didn't look so good in terms of permits we thought we were going to issue or update. We issued 9 out of 12. That was primarily due to the fact we didn't have all the information we needed from the dischargers. I think Crystal Geyser was even part of that, which, you know, got counted this year, not last fiscal year. And then we were able to close 26 underground storage tank cases, and we had identified 25. And next slide, and the fiscal year that we're in halfway through right now, we're looking really good at meeting our targets. We did identify a fewer number of inspections, only 128 instead of 198. That was primarily because we did know that we had additional demands on our time related to permits, permit writing, some enforcement work, climate change. I mean, we knew we tried to scale back our expectations, so we did, and we're now on target to meet that target. And we've already, I think partly because of how the fall was in terms of it being very rainy, we've already exceeded our inspection targets for timber and stormwater construction. And I think that was just because staff really got out there and did a lot of inspections to get ready for the winter, and the winter kind of came early and fast and wet, so you know, I've kind of told people they don't need to go out, but obviously we want to keep track of sites that are vulnerable and have a higher risk. So I'm sure we'll end up exceeding our targets, and that's something that we've explained to State Board in the past too. That we can't, you have to kind of pick an average number. If it's a dry year, we're probably not going to do as many stormwater inspections as a wet year. And then other years, like this one where we had a lot of snow coverage, we might not get out there. So it's always kind of, we're having to propose a number, you know, in May for the next year. That's challenging. And we're doing well on issuing permits. So this year we've met those targets. And I've heard from the underground tank program that even though we're halfway there, we are on track to close a total of 18 sites this year. And some of those get hung up in final closure because they have to remove their monitoring wells and abandon those, and that can sometimes delay it. And next slide. So we are beginning after this meeting, we'll be getting more into detail with each of our unit chiefs and staff to formulate our work plans for next year. And as I mentioned earlier, we are limited by the funds we get in each program. We have to look at what's required of us and what expectations have been set by State Board or what's in certain laws and policies. what comes in the door, our permit applications and environmental documents, and we definitely are seeing an uptick in construction and things like that, especially in the southern part of our region. The other news that just came in this last week is that we've been feeling like we were winding down the underground storage tank program, but we had identified six orphan sites for the board staff to oversee investigations and either remediation or determine whether they're safe for closure. We had identified three sites a couple years ago, and then in another three sites a second year. We were planning to take on a few of these each year, but because of contracting issues that Department of General Services had with the service contractor that we used to go do the investigations, we had not gotten authorization to proceed on those sites, and we just did. But we're getting them for all six sites. So that's another work planning consideration, that next year we're gonna have our hands full managing six sites that, you know, we're getting all the money at once in a contract, you know, having to deal with six different sites. Those are some of the challenges we look at. And again, our biggest challenge is the vacancy rate right now, the 15%. Those 10 positions that we have, we currently have three unit chief positions that are vacant, and with Mike having left last July, but it's been a challenge in trying to, you know, get work done when our leaders are missing as well as some of the staff at the other end. So we definitely are going to have to prioritize the work we do. What it means when we have vacancies, it means we have to choose where we're going to leave money on the table, and that's essentially what's going to happen, is money won't get spent some of these funds. And this year, coming into this year, we're going to be leaving money on the table in the underground storage tank program because of Tom Gavigan leaving. However, it was okay because we didn't have these sites. Next year, we're going to probably spend every dime of it, you know. So that's just an example of how things fluctuate. And we look at our prioritization based on the board's priorities, that primarily looking at public health and human health protection first, and fish and environmental justice and climate change. So that's what I have to say, and Patty's up next. Next slide.
Thank you, Lori. I think it's helpful to have a grounding in what our money is, how limited we are in terms of moving it around much. And I can't harp enough on when we're down that many staff, it really slows the organization down. And even if you get new staff, it'll take some time, you know, to build capacity and get training. That being said, with that comes new opportunities, new ideas, potential new faces, which is healthy for an organization as well. But for the next 12 to 18 months, we might be limping a tad in meeting, you know, performance targets, getting things done, and that's just, I think, a reality check that we need to have. And before I go through some of these challenges, I just covered one of them, I'd like to at least pause a moment to say, every year I do this item, I'm in awe of how much our staff, that is so few in number, get done in such excellent quality. It's really, every year I feel like I'm set back each year going, wow, I can't believe we did all that with such few staff and with such commitment and such quality. And that's really an accomplishment for our staff and all their hard work and dedication. And this organization wouldn't be without them. So I just wanted to take a moment to reflect on that. But as you heard Lori say, some of our challenges are obvious. You know, it's dealing with the existing sites, trying to move the money around, vacancies, new development, what comes through the door, which you can't control in terms of timing either. The unregulated facilities that, you know, you hope to find, you can't always find. Enforcement, you did a presentation on that and some of our challenges and what we can and can't do that. Also, new laws and policies have had a huge impact on our organization over the last 3 to 5 years. Off the top of my head, I think it's like 10-ish state policies that the region boards are asked to implement, but no additional resources came with any of them. So it just adds, you know, onto the cart the additional workload where we don't have enough staff to even do the additional workload. And so you'll notice when if you go through the program fact sheets, which program talks about unaddressed needs, we can't get to all of our inspections. We can't get to all reviewing our reports. We can't get to all our sites. We can't update all the permits that need to be updated. And we just, you know, we need to work with that. And that's the balancing act that we do every day in this organization. And, you know, we have to pick and choose on some of these new policies, particularly from the State Board, of what can we reasonably do and be thoughtful about. But we're trying, you know, and some of that is, I guess, working smarter, to being more creative, to try to see efficiencies. And so we really have spent a lot of time the last few years brainstorming with staff and ideas to how to improve efficiencies. How to be more collaborative with other stakeholders and other things we could do to help us do a job better, improve water quality, knowing that these are the cards we've been dealt. So I'd like to move to a positive note now. Next slide, please. I'd like to focus, and this is all on bait stamp 5-19. What this is a summary of some of the big ticket items, I will call them, that are either underway or proposed that we have, we're working on. There are some that are completed that you might recall, the M&A report, monitored natural attenuation, the environmental justice report we did. Those are some of the completed work that we did. I can tell you that for the monitored natural attenuation, that already has been an efficiency benefit in terms of working with discharges, because now we have a set guidelines on how to proceed on that. And so it was work up front to complete it, but there was benefit at the other end once it was done. And that's an example of some efficiency. So here are some that are underway that I think are rather important. And let me talk about how we get efficiency out of and how we, I guess, rotate with our funding to be able to be creative to do this. So climate change adaption strategy is, I think, is a very high priority for staff, and I believe the board as well, in terms of, you know, something that we need to address. It cross-cuts many programs, and it really can make a huge difference in public health, in environmental protection, and still get to at efficiencies while we try to do it. So that's something that's beginning of underway. A general order on federal lands is something that we're doing a partnership with Region 5, and this is another good example of an efficiency. We have so much federal lands, as you saw our earlier slide, there is no human way we could get to all the sites and deal with all the issues with so few staff that we have. Region 5 has the same problem as Central Valley. They're not any different than us in that same regard. So what the two regions are proposing is a general order where the two regions will look somewhat alike. It's going to go over a 3-year period. You will get a presentation on this in May in great detail, so you'll learn more there. But the concept behind it is to do more of a broader-based plan that these federal agencies complete, allowing them to decide their priorities and ours as well on roads, on timber harvesting, grazing. That will release a burden on us as staff, and I hope we'll get better water quality protections, because it'll push a little bit of the effort onto the federal agencies to manage their lands. But you'll hear more about that in May. Stormwater strategy is in here. Our long-term maintenance permits that we're trying to do, we have done with San Bernardino County and are proposing with LADWP. Again, it'll be some work up front to get it done, but at the end, we're going to have better water quality protections and improvement of compliance. Our dairy general order is another one that's underway that has efficiencies. We previously had a lot of old permits. We had a lot of enforcement actions on these dairies, and it seemed a lot more efficient to do general order, borrow things from Region 1 and Region 5 and make our own general order to enroll all of these rather than uptake individual permits. Bacteria stands is another area that's underway, and that will be driven by the State Board guidance to us. If I could go to next slide. We have some ideas that we want to do going forward, some based on, which are all on those pages there, on guidance the board gave us, such as on mitigation guidance, which was a request from the board last year. But also the board, if you recall, we have quite a few unaddressed needs, and the board was struggling with, well, how do we address those? And so what we as staff were doing is coming back to the board in groupings or chunks, if you will, program by program, because it's too much to overwhelming to look at all of that. So you'll be seeing, and there is on that schedule quite a few, where we come back to the board program by program or area by area to get your guidance. And staff will come with you some ideas for efficiencies, for improving the program, a whole area of issues that we hope to get your guidance on how to improve those programs. You'll be getting, for example, one on wastewater treatment facilities. We lovingly call that the state of the sewers. You'll get that next month in Barstow, and hopefully you'll get some good ideas from staff in the staff report on the status, as well as some recommendations that we hope to get the board's guidance on, and how can we improve the program and our protection of water quality. The land disposal facility overview will be this fall to the board, and wetland mitigation and programs is slated for November. This again was a request from last year's priorities and accomplishments. Now that schedule that you see in your packet is rather aggressive. It has a lot of ideas on there. I think those are all doable. What I will put on the table list, given our staffing resources, the deadlines may slide backwards. But I think if we can get through those things in the next few years, I think it'll make a big impact on our region in terms of efficiencies. You know, we'll be a leaner, meaner machine and be able to affect more water quality with some of those. Next slide, please. Now I'd like to ask the board for their guidance on some of the things we have in the packet. One of the things I'd like you to focus on is our key efforts. This is a two-page summary on page 5-15 of your packet. And these are a lot of our key efforts and priorities that are underway, broken down by the categories that the board had previously prescribed to us. And my question to the board is a little bit, if these are the, do you agree with these efforts? Are there any that you place above others? This will help guide our staff and our work planning effort. The other question I have is what I've just been covering, and that is the workshops and program update that describes some of these, you know, either deep dives into programs or initiatives like climate change strategy for us to do. And that's on page 5-19. And are there any other priorities that we haven't covered in this packet or in our presentation that you feel staff should be addressing going forward? I know that's a lot to take in, but that's kind of what we were hoping to get guidance from the board on as staff, so we could begin our work planning process for the next year. Do you?
What I'd like to do is, because I think that there's probably going to be some extensive discussion, let's take a short break until 15 minutes. And then we'll start with responses from the board members and questions.